This is the May 8th.
May 8th.
I got it. This is the May 8th regular meeting of the KPFT LSB. We believe we have a quorum. And to that end, I'll ask that, so I'm calling the meeting to order, and I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Can't hear Rob Lee.
Oh, okay. And for now, I guess everybody unmute, and then we'll mute later, including me. All right. Teresa Allen.
Allen is present.
David Britton. Okay, we'll come back to him. Lillian.
Lillian.
Claire. Present?
Present.
What, did Lillian speak up?
Adriana Casanave.
Casanave.
A. Absent. Joseph Davis.
Joseph Davis is present.
Thank you. Elaine Duncan.
Present.
Thank you. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Present. Henry Faust. Absent. Robert Gartner. Absent. Robert Lee, present. Mike Lewis, present.
Mike Lewis is here.
Thank you. Cheryl Lynn.
Cheryl Lynn is present.
Sandy Weinman.
Is present.
Marianne Martinez. Absent. Sean McPherson.
I am here.
Present. Tori Mercer. Absent. Stuart Nance.
Yes, I'm here.
Rick Norris.
I am here.
Present. Frank Protka.
Present.
Thank you. I think Andrea Riley is absent and resigning. Absent. Jane Schneider.
Scheidler, present.
Scheidler, thank you. Scheidler. Absent. Debbie.
Present. Present.
Present. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Debbie Smith. Absent. I think Richard is excused. He's had an operation.
I'm here.
Oh, my goodness. Above and beyond. Okay, we hope you're well, Richard.
I'm well enough for this meeting.
Okay. Egberto Willis. Absent. And then Susan.
Susan Young is here, and let me mention that Deb Smith requested an excused absence.
Okay. Excused absence. Is there anyone else that has requested an excused absence?
No, but I missed the roll call. I was a bit late joining the meeting. This is Lillian Kerr. Could you please record me as present? Thank you.
And thank David you.
Britton.
Likewise.
David Britton's here too.
David likewise. Britton, perfect.
And Marianne Martinez.
And Marianne Martinez, thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, if anyone comes on, if you'll just let me know.
Thank you. We do have a quorum, yes?
We did acknowledge David Britton is on the call, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And so, Mr. Secretary, can you confirm we do have a quorum?
And I hate to say this, but I was just wondering, what is the absolute number?
We decided it was 13.
13, okay.
So, yes?
And Tori Mercer's here.
Yes, now we have 15.
Okay.
We're good. We have a quorum. Thank you, Tori. I will mark that. Thank you, Tori.
Excuse me. I understand that there was one request for an excused absence.
I move accepting Debbie Smith's excused absence.
Is there any objection to the excused absence? Going once, twice, Take it by your silence. The motion is carried.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Chair, we have a new fire tablet who's arrived.
Okay. Teresa.
Who is that?
Teresa.
No, it's Henry.
Henry Faust?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thanks, Henry.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm going to read the agenda, the proposed agenda, call to order at 7 o'clock, roll call, which we've just done, agenda approval. I'll note that once it's approved, it requires a two-thirds vote to change the agenda. We've allocated 5 minutes for that, minutes approval from the April 10th meeting, 10 minutes we've allocated. We've allocated 5 minutes for staff recognition. Pardon me. The announcement of a recent resignation from the board, creating an opening. We've allocated 5 minutes for that. The IGM report, 15 minutes, and the PNB rep report, 15 minutes. I will note that, as always, we have a hard stop at 8 o'clock for public comment. 30 minutes is allocated for, I'm going to say as much as 30 minutes is allocated for public comment. And we'll resume with the LSB committee reports, 5 minutes each. That's Committee of Inclusion, Development and Outreach, Governance, MSRC, and Finance. If there's any unfinished business, we can address that for 10 minutes. Is that staff recognition the second time? Excuse me. I lost my cursor. I apologize. New business, which is a discussion on codification for the midterm nomination process, given that we have run smooth out of alternates. We've used them all up. Then confirm the next meeting on May 8th, 2024, and adjourn by no later than the time certain of 10 p.m. Is there any discussion, any objections, any? Yes.
Mr. Chair, I've got a couple of amendments, proposed amendments. One is the date on the agenda is May 10th. It should be May 8th. So that's just a correction. The other is, if it is the will of the group, number 11, new business, is the motion I sent forward about codification for LSB midterm nomination process. And I move that it be taken up at the time of the announcement and discussion of the nomination to fill the open position for Andre Riley.
That seems logical. Are there any other proposed amendments? Yes, Lily?
Hey, Sean. I did not receive the minutes. I'm not sure what's going on with my email, but could somebody resend those? I don't have any objection to anything that I heard just now, but it'd be nice to have them in my inbox.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. I'm sure our able secretary will take care of that.
Lillian, could you give me your email real quickly and I'll do that.
Who is this?
Rob Lee.
What's your can you put it in the chat, Rob, and I'll send you my email. If you could send me your email, I will email you.
Okay. I'll put it in the chat.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm still trying to get an agenda approval. Jane, do you have any proposed amendments? You have your hand up and your microphone is muted.
I didn't receive the agenda until about 10 minutes ago. And I'm not sure I received them a minute. I haven't had, and if I did receive them, it was, and I don't think any person in this at all. I just, there was a, as we say, a glitch in the system.
Respectfully, we're trying to figure out what the agenda is.
Sorry.
Minutes are the, I believe, the next item on the agenda. Are there any objections to the agenda as modified per Ms. Young's call to motion? Going once, going twice, hearing none. The agenda as modified is approved. Now, I believe, as I said, that the next item is minutes approval. I understand that there are some members who have not received the minutes or received them late. And I understand, Mr. Secretary, you've undertaken to get those two people. Rob?
Yes. I messed up today, and I did send some out at 10, but then there was a problem, and I resent them at about 5:40.
All right. Keeping in mind that the minutes can be revised or amended at any time, is there any objection? If someone tomorrow or the next day finds some problem or has some objection, the minutes can still be revised. Keeping that in mind, is there any objection to approval of the April 10th minutes?
No.
Going once, no. Going twice. Appreciate you people. The motion's carried. Staff recognition. Do we have any members who wish to recognize members of the staff?
Teresa, please.
Yes, please.
I want to thank Howard and the programmers who did, what do you call them, live?
Remotes.
Live remotes. And that was including Susan Darrow at the Mucky Duck, Nuri and Howard and several other people at the Art Car Parade. I can't remember who did it at the Mercantile and Under the Volcano, but.
Stuart.
Was it Stuart? Yes. Sorry, Stuart.
Ronnie Renfro.
Yeah, it was R&R at the Volcano.
Right. And Clint Broussard at the Mercantile.
And that's just wonderful, especially Art Car. I think that it was clear that we did provide a big service to that event and made for a much more pleasant experience by introducing the cars as they came through. And people enjoyed meeting Nuri. And we also had some wonderful volunteers there. And I'll mention some of those other volunteers from events when I give the development report.
Okay. We've allocated 5 minutes for staff recognition. Are there any other LSB members who wish to recognize staff? Going once, going twice?
Well, I would like to also thank Robin Lewis. She is doing everything. At the last minute, we said that we wanted to participate in the Earth Day event, and she set it up for us. So, I mean, I think she's doing a lot with the minimal hours that we pay her for, and she just does it so smoothly. I really do appreciate all the hard work.
I'd like to note, recognize Clay Brasher.
Oh,
he just passed away, but he was a really good guy and a great asset to K15. It's sad he's no longer with us.
I am so sad. I'm sad for his family, but I'm sad for myself because Elevator Prozac, I said this in an email. I think that's one of the best new programming ideas this station has had in a long minute. So, and I'm not being facetious. I am, obviously, I'm sorry for his family, but I have a personal, stake as well. All right. If there are no other, staff recognition, then let me pull up my, I hate not having two screens here at the, house. Pardon me. Then, the next matter on the agenda is, excuse me. Pardon me. Angela Riley. Her first name is Angela, yes?
Andrea.
Andrea. Well.
Andrea Zipporah Riley. Yes.
Pardon me. So, Ms. Riley, this morning, I think it was, I received a, her email resignation, forwarded by Susan Young. So we had a number of alternates that, you know, people who had run and had fallen short, but were next in line should there be a resignation or something happen to a, you know, a member. However, we have exhausted that, tranche of, alternate members. I believe Susan has a, has a motion, regarding how to deal with that.
Sure. And I forwarded it to everybody. Let me just say, Andrea sent her notice to Teresa and me. She knew Teresa. She knew I had reached out to her. So it should have gone to the board chair and the secretary. I forwarded to them and then to the LSB. At the, I believe it was the April meeting, we adopted a policy we anticipated because Andre was the last person. We anticipated that if there was another resignation, that we would have to figure out according to the bylaws what the LSB choice was about how to fill another resignation. And so we adopted a motion, which was that we hold an election where the LSB nominates and elects, but we did not spell out things like notices and periods of time and stuff like that. So I pulled together a suggested motion and sent it to everybody. I'm sorry that I'm sure there are spelling mistakes and grammar and so forth. I'm not going to read the section in bylaws article 4 that sets up that we get to choose. Whereas a delegate in the listener member class has resigned from the KPFT board and midterm and no eligible candidate from the listener member class in the last election is available, whereas the KPFT LSB adopted the policy to fill midterm vacancies through nomination and election by the LSB, providing the opportunity for every delegate to offer one nomination of a candidate for the position and that nominees would be sent to appropriate tellers to conduct the balloting. Therefore, this process will include the KPFT LSB secretary will provide for announcements on air on the website and through emails that nominations to fill a midterm vacancy on the LSB will be conducted by the LSB at its meeting June 12th, 2024, and that those wishing to be considered send a statement about their candidacy to the LSB secretary no later than midnight, Central Daylight Time, Friday, June 7th, 2024, include the secretary's email address. The secretary will promptly forward all candidate statements to the entire LSB for each delegate to consider selecting from among these submissions at most one candidate to nominate and so inform the secretary no later than Monday, June 10th, 2024. That is, each delegate gets to nominate at most one candidate. The secretary will notify those candidates who have been selected by one or more LSB members to nominate that they are nominated and invite the nominees to make a statement at the June 12th board meeting with Zoom link provided. The secretary will provide time in the draft agenda for June 12th for the nominees to make statements 2 minutes each, and for there to be questions and answers among the LSB members. One round of 1 minute questions for each LSB member for all the candidates, and 1 minute response for each candidate to each question, and a final statement from each candidate, 1 minute. Ballots will then be conveyed to the by the secretary to the tellers engaged to conduct this election with instructions about conducting the balloting.
Well, for something that you say you cobbled together, that seems awfully well thought out. I see we have some hands, so.
Is there a second?
Second.
Alan was second.
Okay. Thank you. I see we have some hands, so, I expect there's to be some discussion. Joseph Davis?
I'll just give thee a brief, rundown on the bylaws. Anyone who's a current paid up listener member and who has not been on the board, 3 out of the last 4 years, we can choose. That's fine. And that's anything else is up to you guys. So there you go. Thank you.
Good. And somehow my ability to lower hands is disabled. So when you're done, I thank you, Joseph. Stuart Nance.
Yeah. Just a quick clarification. We have two types of LSB members. There's listener members and then there's staff. And, I don't know if that distinction matters in this case. We do have a staff alternate, or we did, just for clarification purposes, that's all.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Susan.
If I may answer that, only alternates from listener member class can be available to fill a listener member class seat. So we've exhausted those alternates, and this seat would have to be filled by someone elected from listener member class. Bylaws state that.
Thank you for that clarification. Tori Mercer?
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to block any kind of consensus about what anybody wants to do as far as filling the seat that's available. But I do want to remind people that the big fight 20 plus years ago and the four lawsuits were all about the fiduciary board becoming something that's not a self-selecting board. And so I don't think it matters what LSBs do because they're not fiduciaries. But the horizontal and democratic and community organization thing to do would be to accept nominees from the community, from, you know, anybody who's a paid member of Pacific, of KPFT.
Any other discussion?
Richard, I don't know how to raise my hand.
Gotcha.
I think involving the community would be great, but it would be real cumbersome. Just like the Congress and the Senate and all those things like that, we're elected to represent the constituents. And I think this board is capable and qualified to choose that next person or two.
Well, it's not about us being qualified. It's about process. It's about democratic process. Dictatorship's always easier than
that's what I address. That's what I address. That's what democracy is.
I understand is that Richard to be saying is if we can't do a better job than Congress, then we all ought to just go jump off a cliff. Richard?
I'm sorry I brought up Congress.
Susan?
Yeah, I would just like to say that, I've provided for the public, you know, all of our members, anyone who wishes to put their name in can. And there is, in order to have a manageable number, to be able to accommodate in a meeting, they have to be nominated by a delegate. So delegates may choose to nominate every person who puts their name in. That would be a long meeting. This is the procedure more or less that's been used by KPFT in the past. This is a procedure that's been used by WPFW more than once because they frequently run out of delegates. So I appreciate your, you know, your commitment to broader democratic practice, but I think that this has been not only precedential, but is more practical.
I don't see any other hands. If there's no other discussion, then I would call the question. A yes vote would approve the motion as enunciated by Susan Young. A no vote would be against, clearly. Mr. Secretary, will you call the roll?
Are there objections?
I asked if there were. You know, thank you, Joseph. Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any objections to the motion brought by Susan Young? Going once, going twice. The motion carries by silent acclamation.
Okay. We will proceed with the vote. Teresa Allen.
No, Rob, we just figured out we don't need a vote. We don't need to call the vote because nobody has an objection.
Passed without objection.
So let me find my agenda again. And I will say, and next on the agenda is the interim general manager's report.
Thank you, Mac. Well, here we are in May, and tomorrow, May 9th, starts our May fund drive with a goal of $150,000. And we will have until, the 26th to get there Sunday, the 26th to get there. So hopefully we'll make it and move forward into the summer months till August. I have a request of everybody on this call. On the board, we have a matching pledge of $50 for each new sustainer. And I'm asking each board member to increase that $50 by $1. That means up to 150 sustainers, you're willing to put a dollar in. So if 150 people sign up, you make a pledge of $150. Now already Debbie and Frank Pratka and Kurt Goodrum and myself, we're going to do this. That's now $54 per sustaining pledge. I'd like to get a few more of you folks here on the call, on the board, so that when we're pitching, we can say we have an anonymous generous donor providing a $50 match, and from our LSB, an additional X amount. It's goodwill. It's also good business sense. We're looking to increase the number of sustainers any way we can. And the incentive genuinely does that trick. So please, if you're interested, if you can, let me know. I'll put your name down on the list. You can do it during the report or during the Q&A when I'm done, or anytime. You can email or call. Doesn't even have to be today. The drive kicks off tomorrow, and we'll be collecting sustaining pledges for a couple, 3 weeks. A little bit more than 3 weeks. So there's time to make a decision. But your generous acts will make a huge difference. As was
Sandy,
mentioned,
I just wanted to Sandy, can I ask a question? You can give any amount, right? And it's a one-time donation, right? So it was like you're going to get back with us and say we had 150 people become sustaining members. And if you've pledged up to 150, then you would have committed to give 150. If you committed 50, then you were committed to give 50. Is that right? Is that how it works? I'm not quite sure how it works.
Well, I'm asking everybody to add $1 up to 150 sustaining pledges. So the liability to you making this decision would be as much as $150 donation. to KPFT at the end of, as we conclude our drive.
Okay? I'm sorry. And to clarify, these are new sustaining
pledges. Yes.
Okay.
And it's making a big difference. We've got to get this program moving forward. Still, we added last fund drive and I want to add again this fund drive. So Rob, you got your hand up? You got a question about this? Probably.
Yes. I was just going to say, many boards with many organizations do things like this. So I think this is a wonderful idea, but I would propose that you do this. I would propose you have tier one, that is exactly what you said, up to $150, maximum exposure. And I would also like for you to suggest, for some board members who might not want that much maximum exposure, allow for them to give an amount with a maximum exposure that they would be comfortable with. So that's my proposal, and I am in on the 150 max.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. So now we have $55 per sustainer with Rob's addition. That's how it works, and we're going to make our goal, and we're going to do good for the station again if everybody comes on board, please. As was mentioned,
I just sent you
during staff recognition, Susan, you got your hand up.
Yeah, I saw in the chat that also Stuart Nance made a commitment up to 150, and I made a commitment up to 150.
Wonderful. Very good. Thank you, folks.
I just sent you an email to that effect.
Okay. Okay.
Not that it's a competition.
Whoever texts me or Facebook Messenger will probably win, just so you know. As was mentioned earlier, on April 22nd, we lost Clay, and we were unaware of this. I had reached out to him by text to see if he was coming in live, never got a response. He didn't. Same thing the last Saturday, and I got a little more aggressive searching through Facebook and found a cousin that pointed me to his wife's Facebook page, talked to his wife and his son. Clay suffered a heart attack while out riding his bicycle. That's about all the details I got. It really doesn't matter. There's no reset button. And I knew Clay for 27 years. I met him about 3-4 weeks after starting with Neil on Friday nights in 1997. So long friendship. He's going to be missed. He's going to be missed. And we'll figure out something, but what a shame. He's only 55 years old. Okay. Our brick garden's going to be about double in size when we get done with the next tranche of actually three deliveries of bricks. Two of them are in. One should be in shortly. When it comes in, we'll do the installation. And again, this program, the sustainers, the people that are doing as much as $25 a month or $50 a month for a brick, making a huge difference in terms of KPFT. So we'll continue that this drive. Mo Thomas will be in. We've got a new importer from Nautel that we paid $8,700 for. And that will hopefully remedy our HD2 FM transmission problems, which have been fierce over the last 3 months. This piece of equipment has been failing. We've tried everything to get it to run. It's a Windows 2007 machine that's several years old. And the upgraded electronics, according to Mo, will allow us to wash our car while we drive it home from work. So we'll play with the new features and see what we got. That piece of equipment was supposed to be delivered today. Its installation will either be done by Mo, maybe next week, or by Howard with Mo's assistance via phone. We rented a dumpster and cleaned out the second storage unit at the Oak Farm storage building, the U-Store facility, and it's done. We've terminated that rental, so we lost a monthly bill and lost some stuff in there that the last year and a half, almost 2 years, we haven't touched. So what we found is we could do without most of it. And I want to thank Debbie Smith and her grandsons, Marcus and Javoy, for coming out and really helping out. Mac came out. Marlo was there. Howard, myself, and we got the job done. So that second storage unit's closed out. We've moved out of Lovett into Caroline completely. We have new revisions to schedules. If you're interested or curious, go ahead and take a look at them. They're posted by Marlo. Again, we'll figure out what we're going to do with the Saturday spot, but we're in no rush for the moment. The remotes that were mentioned at the top of the meeting here, I just want to again say thanks. It's wonderful community engagement. It's great outreach. Each of these venues created quite a crowd. I was so amazed to go to Under the Volcano, which usually opens around 2 o'clock. And by 4 or 5 o'clock, you got the crowd of regulars in there, you know, they dripped in slowly. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it was crowded. So the word got out and people came out. Same with the Mucky Duck. The art car speaks for itself. I think this is wonderful. And I really, I'm encouraging to this practice, maybe trying to do a couple a month. I've been invited to do one up in spring. We'll look into that. We did the art car parade. Thanks to Boyd Bluestein for donating the car, to Darrell and the many others that made that car shine. And I think that was a really great success. We rented a shredding service that came with a mobile truck, and out through the front door went box after box after box after box of stuff that was from the 80s, you know, old file stuff. We got rid of it and freed up space, and the fire marshal smiled. So we spent a little money to clean up the upstairs, and we were successful in doing that too. I want to thank Tim Leatherwood and Anderson Fair and Lyle Lovett, Jesse Dayton, for doing a benefit for us on April 20th. That benefit netted over $24,000. That's the most the KPFT has ever reported on a single benefit, according to the memory of those that are present at KPFT today. So we're trying to plan something for this drive, but we're having so far nothing concrete yet, but hopefully before too much time is up, we can start announcing our own event with which to power this May drive. Debbie, again, thank you for the work that you've done on the building along with your husband. Thanks to DJ Iron Lungs, Jesus, for coming out and helping out with the building. He's hanging around on Saturday and learning the art of radio. He has an HD2 program called Deep Dive, I think. Anyway, DJ Iron Lungs, Jesus. I mentioned the HD2 importer. That's just a big thing, getting that done and making sure we can do what we're supposed to be doing according to our license, broadcasting HD2 as well as one. Amplify Houston, just hats off. They're 3 days a week, full bore, and it's 501c after 501c3, getting a little airtime, explaining what they do, and all the people that defend Houston and the people in Houston get to talk about it on the air and talk about what's going on with them. That's a really important show. And I want to thank Rico Hernandez and the Children at Risk crew and all the people involved with that. So they're doing great. And it's really taking hold. 3 days a week now. We'll see when we can hit four. The original concept was every day, 9 to 9:30. Marlo did recruit Joe Nick Pitowski. He's bringing what he calls his Texas Music Hour of Power to HD2. According to Marlo, it's the best thing since sliced bread. Tune in and find out.
Oh, it's amazing. Two thumbs up.
There you go. There's one review. Put that on Yelp, okay? I haven't heard it yet, but Marlo, again, hats off. She's got, you know, She keeps on doing what she's supposed to be doing, the FCC reports, looking out for programming and making sure everything's covered in a way that makes the station sound good. You don't really get to see what she's doing behind the scenes, but if she wasn't there, this operation wouldn't run very well. We've got several interns that come in at least on Fridays or more often. They're recording, they're doing their own shows. They're digitizing media records and CDs and other activities, learning to edit and doing our voiceovers, et cetera. So hats off to, again, Marlo for recruiting. And we're going to, I think we're going to a intern there at one of the high schools coming up. I'm sorry, I don't have the specific details. Marlo hit that, hit me with that today. I want to say it's Jaden's high school, Jaden Lee, who's our, one of our interns, and she's studying for not only her GED, but also an associate's degree at the same time. And we've been so happy to have her. She's such a positive influence around everybody. On May 30th, the Bloodmobile will be parked next to our building. I encourage you to, if you can't give money, give some blood. Houston Regional Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center is providing the Bloodmobile as they did last year. And again, they'll be parked right next door. I also want to thank Augie and Di for running down to Galveston for participating in the La Izquierda Beach Festival that occurred last weekend. I loaded them up with stickers and such. I haven't gotten a report. It was not possible for me to go down there. Otherwise, I would have. I love the beach. Love Galveston. I love music. They had it all in that festival.
Sandy, I would note that the next 15 minutes are allocated for PNG. Yeah,
I'll wrap it up, Mac. Hang on.
Thanks.
Listenership stats are in there. They're much like last month, 0.3 market share, which is an improvement over the 0.2, 0.1 that we had originally. Hopefully we can keep on increasing it. $174,595.88 is in the bank. All the bills are paid, and we will continue to pay our bills. We still continue to operate with just Howard as our one FTE. Somebody asked me earlier by email, Susan, how many $15 an hour people we have. We have enough for a four FTE at $15 an hour people. So four plus Howard plus is what we got running the station. The $15 an hour plan and the people that are being paid for their activities, their regular activities such as board hopping, is going very well. Really proud of this group. It's almost mechanized. With that, I will take questions.
We have just a couple minutes for questions. Are there any? That has been a pretty thorough report, Sandy. Thank you very much. I don't see any questions.
So again, wrapping up.
Andy, I have a question on programming. Will you repeat a show for Elevator Prozac, or are you going to have a stand-in couple of DJs?
We just repeat. We've had one on, a repeat on Saturday and the one before that. This Saturday, I think we're looking at Clay's playlist and picking out his some of the music, and we'll continue to pitch after my shift is over and play some of that music and maybe talk about Clay. I'm not sure if we're ready to do a proper on-air memorial. I'm certainly not. I'm really devastated by this. He was a very close friend.
All right. So, I'm going to make a command decision here move on to PNB reports. And if those don't take too long, I will happily circle back to any other questions for the IGM. PNB representative reports.
I'm happy to start, but unless Richard and Teresa and Egberto wish to lead off.
You have stepped into the breach, so please.
Okay, great. The PNB met on April 18th and on May 2nd. At each of these meetings, we received ED reports that I intended to forward. I'll send the most recent one. With the ED report comes the quarterly financial statement for the National Office, PRA, and for all five stations. And that's the first quarter. And there's a version that will be forwarded to all LSBs. It's part of the attachment. We are postponed again for closing on the KPFK real estate transaction. There are issues about clearing the lien and going to Treasury. We have had a settlement of the FCC challenge, and the PNB authorized, I believe it was unanimous, to enter into an agreement for a compliance plan. And I think many of us feel that it's reasonable and that it in fact gives us very clear instructions about how we should be doing pitching that we haven't had clear instructions about before. It also subsumes all the conversations about underwriting. The people who have the responsibility for compliance are the executive director and a compliance officer who is John Amella. And, John, I think has already, and Sandy can nod his head, has already communicated to the GMs and the GMs on to the programmers, about what requirements are, the checklist. A staff directory will be compiled. And basically, if you do not give us information about who you are and sign up that you understand the FCC requirements and so forth, you will not be qualified to be a staff. That staff directory, which will be at all five stations, will also help with the elections process. We also entered into an agreement about a partnership with the Library of Congress and the Mellon Foundation for digitizing our archive material, starting with 20,000 tapes a year, basically. We have 80,000 tapes and then other archive material, and we're organizing how to transport all of that, and the digitization that will happen will be highest quality. It's not just copying. We have the executive director is organizing teams of volunteers. She would welcome people who wish to participate to focus on things like CPB eligibility, grants, really launching a grant seeking effort, program sharing, sort of looking across program grids across the whole network and affiliates for programs that might be good to share, and grid review at all five stations. She did have underwriting on the list, but that's been subsumed with the compliance for the FCC.
Susan, yeah. We are coming up on a hard stop in 8 minutes, and we have two other PNB rep reports. Okay. I'm very sorry, but we're going over. Richard, do you have anything to report?
I have a couple of things I could say. I don't know, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of things that I could say, but I had to scoot out of here at the last meeting because I had to get my gallbladder taken out. So that's taken up a little of my time. I just wanted to, just as we're damn lucky to have Otis McClay, we are damn lucky to have John Amella, who is our new FCC compliance officer. Yes. And although that came as a shock to a lot of people, probably most of us, the outcome of that is going to be very positive. We had to pay a little fine. We had to pay a total of $25,000, $5,000 a month over the next 5 months. But that's really a small fine. And we were on a, we were on the verge of making some real serious mistakes that would have cost us a hell of a lot more than that. And one of the good things that's going to come from this is the FCC is going to work with John, and get, set up training for all of us so that our pitches and stuff are more correct. And so we don't get in that bind again. And in the long run, that's going to be a wonderful thing, I think. That's all I wanted to say, Sean. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. We have 5 minutes to our hard stop. Teresa, can you do that?
I would like to just say one thing and then give it back to Susan because I think the information she got is invaluable. I do want to say that it is very important if we're going to have an upcoming election that our general manager work really hard to document all of our membership and have documented the hours of our staff to meet the requirements as qualifying for staff. And also,
is that a PNB rep report? I'm asking.
Yeah.
Everybody's nodding yes. I'm sorry I interrupted you, please.
One more thing, and I do suggest, because of what was just mentioned, that we make sure that we have contact information for all staff. That's all I have, and I'd like to hear more from Susan.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. Yes, Susan, we got a couple more.
Egberto.
No report.
Okay, I'll continue real fast. The bylaws vest the authority to engage a national election supervisor with Stephanie Wells, even though we can't yet afford to pay one. The most qualified, in her judgment, the person who was most qualified among five she got submissions for has agreed to start before funding is available. There should be an announcement coming out about who that is and what the schedule is. It should be coming out shortly. The coordinating committee recommended, and the PNB stood up, a strategic planning committee, and that group is being organized now. Minerva Sanders from WPFW is the convener, and there are three areas that the strategic planning committee will be looking at. One is use of the KPFK sale proceeds. Another is archives, particularly the Legacy Project, which is transferring the archives to the Library of Congress. And then also strategies for achieving solvency across the system. I think that's probably enough for now.
Thank you. We have time. We have about 2 minutes if anybody has any questions.
Yeah, Mac, I have a question.
Yes.
Susan, who arranged the deal with whoever, Mellon and the National Archives?
That actually was a deal that was brought to us from the outside rather than proposed by the archive department. And it came from, a prior employee at the archive, and I'd like to leave it at that because that's kind of a personnel matter that has not been discussed at the PNB.
Lillian, you have your hand up?
Yeah. Did I unmute? Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can somebody tell me about this fine from the F whoever? I mean, do programmers need to be aware of something when we go into FundDrive tomorrow?
If I might. You have a minute, Sandy, if you can do
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Otherwise, we'll have to circle back.
Lillian on the bulletin board in the green room. John Amella's memo is posted. You were also sent a copy by email. Biggest thing is no calls to action. Avoid them. Don't sell your own book.
Okay.
Don't do anything where you're promoting your own music or other art, et cetera.
Understood.
That was what Gary Knoll and Christine Blasdale are the poster children, and that's what got us in trouble.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Very quickly.
Yeah, there are a couple of other things. We can't say premiums. I've got to say thank you gifts, and there's a limitation on how frequently you can mention the a single thank you gift in an hour. There are some things like that.
Okay. Thank you. We are up against a hard stop. It is 8 o'clock by my computer clock, and members of the public are invited to address the LSB. The way we've been doing this is each unique speaker has the opportunity to address the board for 5 minutes. To allow the next person, should there be any, the next person to also address the board. If we exhaust all the unique speakers, we can easily come back around and speakers can have additional minutes. It goes until 8:30 it lasts till 8:30. I've mentioned before, this is not the time or place for individual attacks. I ask you not to address members by name or cast aspersions. By the same token, members of the LSB are not to respond or interact with the speaker. Having said that, Thomas Harper, you have your hand up?
Yes, sir, I certainly do. Earlier, when I was listening to the meeting, it was addressed that we do not have any staff runner-ups for a seat. So I'd like to point out to everyone that I am a one and only staff runner-up. However, if I may volunteer to solve the problem for the resignation of a listener, I will be willing to step down as staff member and go ahead and fill that spot as a listener until we can get all this straightened out. That's number one. Number two, these events that were outdoor events that KPFT have, I want to point out everybody needs to be careful, because these protesters are coming around and they're protesting Israel and they're protesting, Gaza, Palestine. And I don't want to see anybody get hurt. So while we're out here, you know, attending these parades, attending these outdoor events, I would like for everybody to be careful and, you know, watch their back. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.
Chair, I'm sorry. Adriana Casney, thank you.
Yes, please. Oh, thank you, Adriana.
Bob Gardner is there too.
Yeah, I never look at the chat, but I did this time, and Bob Gardner is here, wants to be recognized as here. Are there any other members of the public who wish to address the LSB? Bill Crozier, you have raised your hand. You have 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. First I want to thank all of you who are serving on the board again. I know you have other things you could be doing on a Wednesday night and or during committee meetings or the many activities that you participate in. I really appreciate all that. It's really, got one of the best LSBs I think that we've had in a really long time. I know the settlement with the FCC may have sounded scary, but I think Pacifica lucked out really well having to pay only a $25,000 fine. It could have been over $100,000 or more. And although, you know, it's, we might wish that, you know, for that it could have been, the problems would have gone away earlier. They were continuing for a long time. And I'm glad that at least, finally WBI will have to clean up at least part of their issues that they've had with compliance. And, I think this will make, WBI stronger and all of Pacifica stronger. Although I know there's maybe some nuisance issues there of having to learn a few new ways of, you know, pitching and how to deal with underwriting and stuff like that. But I tell you, it's, we need to be careful, not just with the FCC, but also the, recording industry. They've really cracked down on, and I'm not talking about so much about KPFT, but some of the other stations, they've really cracked down on, copyright infringement or not complying with, you know, all the rules about, streaming content and stuff like that. So, or downloads especially. And, anyway, I just, thank you all, but remember that we're still in, we Pacifica, that is, are still in really bad financial, results. And, you know, the sale of the KPFK building will provide some temporary cash, but just like KPFT's building was sold and, you know, part of it went to the lender FJC. So I assume the same thing will happen to KPFK, but all of our buildings still remain collateral for the FJC loan. And we're way behind on paying the interest and principal in that. We're behind on the EIDL loan from the federal government. And all those could be, we could be, you know, hauled into court for non-payment for any of those also. Plus, we need to pay an auditor. We need to do all kinds of other things. And WBAI, I know less the announcement I heard from them, they're still $100,000 short on catching up with their tower rental payments. It's a miracle they haven't been kicked off of their tower. And if that happens, they'll probably never get back on the air. So we do need to do what we can to get, you know, our finances in order. And WBI has been a, you know, big drain for a long time, except for the one year, I believe, when we all got a lot of federal stimulus money during COVID. But, you know, except for that, they've been depending on other stations to help cover their expenses. And we all need to be self-sustaining and pay our own way, just like we're doing now at KPFT. So thank you all.
Thank you, Bill. Bear with me. Cell phone number ending in 1438. Would you like to address the LSB?
Not 1438?
That's what I said.
Okay, that's me. It's Nancy Cyber and Adi Tomi. I'd like to ask for promotion of the HD2 shows because there's no promotion. I mean, that's something we can do to let members know that there is another channel. There's no promotion. So all that hard work of those programmers is not being respected when you don't have promotion. Please, management, please. I don't know what you can do, suggest or make some promos yourself, but please do promotion of the HD2 programs. And I would like the board to listen to the People's News, which is on three times on HD2 channel during the week. Sunday noon, Monday 9 o'clock, Thursday 9 o'clock. It's a very good show. Rad goes out in the field, gets interviews with the voices of people, problems. This is a very important show. And the Capitalism, Race, and Democracy, it's a collective of our network show. It's on four different stations, and last year, October, there was around 14 or 15 affiliates, maybe, or maybe two Octobers ago it was counted. It's hard to go through 220 affiliate stations and ask them if they're taking that show on. So it's being heard by a lot of stations, more than just the four Pacifica stations. It's very important. It's only one time on Monday at 10 o'clock. Please take a listen. And there's no promotion. So if management does not have time to make promos, ask these programmers of these shows to make a promo. Otherwise, it's like going on and nobody knows about it. And if you want to make a kind of suggestion that the HD1 programmers say on the HD2 is another show and say what the show is. And then ask the HD2 programmers to say on the HD1 is another show. Because not everybody is, most people are listening to radio in the car. So they're not going to be going to the website. Maybe some people just have their radio on while they're working in the house and they're not going to the website to check. So they would have no way of knowing about HD2 programming unless it's set on the HD1. Okay, the second thing is that we're not in compliance with the bylaws. We're not announcing these LSB meetings. The bylaw says Article 7, Section 6, at least four times in prime time on four different days, starting at least 1 week in advance of the date. We're not doing this for, I don't know, how long? How many years we're not doing this? We're also not doing a GM report with half the time for call-ins. And I don't mean just playing music. I mean call-ins with the listeners. And then LSB members rotating to report to the listeners and have half the time for call-in questions or comments with the listeners. We're not doing this. We haven't done this in years, and we need to do this. This is not good. It means our LSB meetings are just a small group of inside people. And we don't even have a chance to give to the listeners. I wish whoever has the kitchen noise could mute their channel. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Are there any other members of the public who wish to address the body? Hearing none, Nancy, I see you have your hand
up. This is Bella DeSoto.
Oh, is that 49? Wait, who's who?
Bella DeSoto.
Okay, I'm trying to find you. Are you not on cell phone?
7022.
Yeah, I don't see you, but anyway, you're here. So yes, you have 5
Thank
minutes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What is your name as chair?
I'll make this sole exception. You may not have understood earlier that members of the board are not.
I already know the rule. What is your name? What is your name, please?
Ma'am, if you wish to address the LSB, please do so. You are welcome.
Okay. I support everything that Nancy Saibar Naritomi just said. It is violation of the Articles of Incorporation of this foundation. And KPFT has been in a serious violation. It is very convenient for this body, the KPFT, which is nearly 95-97% a New Day, to continue adopting unilateral resolutions to shut out community engagement, to shut out community participation in the elections. And so now that New Day is in full control, you are able to manipulate everything. Susan Young's motion, resolution, is a violation of the ethos of the mission statement and the bylaws and the corporation codes of California in which the Pacifica Foundation, Inc. has been registered at. I suggest that those new people on your board do some research and get involved on the issue of reading the bylaws so that you can prevent this railroading of what is going on across the network of Pacifica. And I do not believe that the KPFK building will be easily sold, given that the two liens cannot be easily lifted. Okay, and all this manipulation by Arthur Schwartz is just unbelievable. And what is going on at the PMB, it is unbelievable trying to change the bylaws, the very bylaws documents of incorporation of this foundation without consultation of the membership. So many violations. How can you sleep at night? I ask you. Right? And the KPFK illegitimate bylaws, illegitimate LSB meeting group that was erected by the PMB is illegitimate, right? Because the legitimate people that were elected by the membership were suspended summarily last year. So many, no financial transparency. As of 9:30, 2023 fiscal year of Pacifica, KPFA's personnel cost was at 75% of revenue. KPFK's cost of personnel was at 70%. I am a bookkeeper. I know the numbers. How can a radio station operate with no money for operations? And what is going on over there that you're holding outreach events and all of that. But what you're doing in the background behind the doors is you are not permitting their participation, only the people that you care for. And Adriana Kasanoff, you will not even acknowledge her as being present, right? And the other members that are non-disciples of New Day, right? I've said my piece. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who wish to address the LSB?
Yes.
Nancy, I see you have your hand up. Let me make sure before we circle back around to you, let me make sure that there are no other members of the public who have not spoken who wish to speak. Okay. Nancy, please go ahead.
Yes. I've been on the board for about 14. Oh, I've been volunteering for 14 years, 12 years and a couple of months I was on the board. So two elections won, two elections runner up. But in that time, I tried to attend every single LSB meeting, even in runner up mode. And there are only two times since 2009 that we had to fill a vacancy with no runner-ups left. And we announced on the air, and the candidates showed up at the meeting. We heard their speech, and the LSB voted. There was no requirement of nominations. And what Susan has suggested is that you, or maybe you already passed it, I'm not sure. It's not in the spirit of the bylaws, like the previous speaker said, that is true. So if a candidate shows up and they're not nominated, I mean, do they have to have a nomination? We never did that before. Anyone who showed up was allowed to give their campaign speech and the LSB would vote. We had like two candidates show up to the first time, and about three or four candidates showed up at the second time. Not too many people want this position. But to put that extra layer of requirement of a nomination by a delegate, that is unnecessary, and that shows a little bit of like wanting to control things. Like a good old boys thing, please don't do that. And despite that you've
according to Susan, have already agreed to do this. I ask all of you to nominate everybody who shows up, although it's not necessary. Please read the bylaws. Another thing about this, it's wonderful. Money coming in, the Lyle Lovett, I forgot the other singer's name. These two singers who volunteered their time at the name of the place. I'm sorry, Anderson Fair. What I've always been worried about, and I have seen things, the money, taking care of the money, being open with the money and the costs. The finance committee never got to see those things. It was always done without the finance committee looking at the numbers. Something's wrong about this system. We need to be more responsible and demand to see documents and not just blind trust. That has got to stop. When Amy Goodman came in May 2018, it was the end of May, and she did her thing. We had so many people. We had to bring out chairs. We had to ask people in the pews to squeeze together. It was a full house. We counted the cash. It was 6,400. Teresa counted it. Dee Conkling counted it. Another one, forgot her name. She passed away. And then I witnessed, and Sue Whitty witnessed, 1,400 cash. We had a lot of brown tickets we didn't even count. And it was $200 to go to the church. The next day was a brunch, paid $1,000 to sit with next close to Amy Goodman. But I was told people came with all kinds of different amounts. Some brought 1,000, some brought 750, some brought 500, some brought 250. We were never shown what came in. Okay, then Obidike Kamau, the general manager, asked the business manager to announce on the air. First time I heard that business manager on the air. She said, we did not do too well. We only made 4,400. So usually Teresa Allen and I usually do not agree on things, but we were both demanding to hear, see something from the business manager, something, because we knew it couldn't be that way. It just could not be that. We counted 6,400 in cash, just the people who came without tickets. In addition, that would be the brown tickets. In addition, it would be the brunch. It could not be 4,400. It is time for the LSB to say, no more blind trust. Show us the documents. Don't let us be a rubber stamp for something that we have no idea what's going on.
Thank you, Nancy. Your 5 minutes is up. We can come back to you in a moment if there is no other member of the public who wishes to address the LSB. Are there any members of the public who wish to address the LSB? Going once. Bill Crozer, you have your hand up?
Okay, I'll just talk a little bit more. I'm glad that I thank Sandy for working with Mo and making sure we get a new importer for the HD for our transmitter. I'm one of the people that does listen to our HD to a signal when it's available. Well, not all the time, but frequently. And so I'm glad we were able to get that fixed. One suggestion that we did this back several years ago with our previous transmitter, and I know Nautel supports this also, is that we can have both HD2 and HD3, for example, and I don't think it costs any more. I think the importer comes with everything that's needed. You have to set it up that way, but just consider, for example, if we want to get more listeners, more and more people are listening online, we might have HD2 is like talk only, and HD 3 is music only. These are both, would both be in addition to our regular analog and HD 1 signal. We could have the best of the talk and the music on the HD 2 and 3, as well as live or even recorded local programs, and also ones from our affiliates. There's a lot of good stuff from our affiliates. A lot of it's already on our HD 2, but we could have more. And, you know, people like to listen to whatever they want to listen to. And then having a, it might give us a chance to have sort of like a format on HD 2 and 3. That's one of the things that's hurt us. I like the variety on what we have in KPFT and have had ever since we got on the air. But you know, people are used to a format, so that if, and having at least say all talk, news, public affairs, including call-ins could be one, and having the music on a different HD sub-channel would get let the people that just want to listen to music do that more easily. So, and along with, we need to promote that, of course, and tell people about it. But I think that's worth considering. If not immediately, at least sometime after we get the new importer set up. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. If there's no one else, then Nancy, you have 5 minutes and then we're done at 8:30. Go ahead. Nancy? You have your hand up.
Yes, thank you. I was muted. Sorry. I muted myself. Since April 19, there's not been any HD2 programming on the HD radio broadcast, but on the online. And I prefer on HD radio. So I know that HD radio people in the car that have HD radios, what they're able to hear our programming, but it's just been the HD1 on the HD2 since April 19. Anyway, I know there's something wrong, equipment, and you're going to take another week to correct this, if I understand the manager correctly. And I don't have a computer, so my phone is my computer, is my telephone, is my everything. And I have to charge my battery almost 2 times a day now because I've been using it so much. But I don't want to go to the online to listen from HD2 programming. I mean, I sometimes do, but then I have to charge my phone even more sooner. Anyway, I want the radio, the HD radio broadcast to be working again. And you're repeating a lot of music shows on both channels. Why do that? Pacifica Network has a lot of different shows, and it includes, from the audio port, it includes a lot of affiliate stations programs. And do our KPFT programmers have audio port accounts? And they need to have an account so they can download their show and they can upload somebody else's show. Whopping. They need to have an account, and they need help sometimes to make an account. I hope the manager will see that this is done, because that way other programmers, when they need content, they can go and take from another station within the Pacifica Network. This is important. And to go all day Saturday without a single public affairs, for me, I like public affairs a little bit more than I like music. I like music too, but I like public affairs, and to go a whole day without public affairs, and then since April 19, going all the other day Sunday, unless I go to my smartphone and go online, I can't hear a public affairs. And so the people who would like to have public affairs, they're out of luck. So instead of repeating music shows on the HD2 that we have on HD1, can't you pick some other shows? Or if you're too busy, have a advisory committee of the LSB, programming committee, made up of open to the members, so we can, you know, do a lot of things that just 3 people cannot do. What's wrong with a programming committee? two stations have K and W. The other three don't have programming committees. I don't know why. They stopped them, all three. And there have been complaints I've heard from some people that, you know, why? We don't have a program council anymore. A program council was getting some work done, but it was not open to the membership. It was voted. And that was, I think, a weak point. It should be open to the customer. You got to hear what the customer wants. We got to start making surveys and publish them so the staff can see these things and the LSB members can see these things and the public, the membership can see. Not just do like this. And I would like the IGM to take more responsibility on these fundraisers, the money. I would like him very much to be in charge of the safety of this money that's coming in. Oversight.
And thank you very much, Nancy. Thank you for your input, your comments. It is 8:30, and we will resume at this point the meeting of the LSB, the remainder of the meeting of the LSB with KPFT LSB committee reports, beginning with COI. Cheryl, are you still with us? I know you had some conflicts, but then you showed up at the roll call and.
I am here. Yes. Well, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Awesome. Thanks. All right. So, just a little brief report, because when I ran for chair, I requested of everyone on the previous committee and the people that were on the current committee to please give me 4 months, because I wanted to try to do something unique to lay a unique foundation for the Committee of Inclusion. And so it's taken far longer than I thought to get that very basic initial step done, but I did get it done finally last week. So excited about that. And so we can proceed now. And I'm still trying to lay that that unique foundation before we start bringing people in. And I'm hoping that that will help with the COI mission. I've been trying to get my hands on some archives, Blue Hill, speaking and people speaking about him, specifically about when he founded KPFT, for one piece of what I'm trying to do. And that's all, I've been having trouble doing that. So if anybody has any, knows where to point me to find Lou Hill himself speaking, I would love to get access to some of that. And other than that, we'll be able to get started now. And so I'm excited about that. And there will be more to report next month. I'm done.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions? Thanks. Any questions for Cheryl Lynn?
Thank you, Nana.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi,
did you have? How are you? Thank you for calling me this time. You know, I know that you care about me. I have a question. Did the COI have any meetings?
No, ma'am. That's what I was, that was my awkward way of saying when I asked for a couple of months. I was trying to lay the foundation, basically trying to get some inclusion in an unusual way before we ever get started, hoping that I can make a nice space for what we're going to do, that where everyone's feeling welcome. And
you received the report that I sent you, right? Because some people were saying, you know, that never was done, but you received it, right? I sent it to you.
Yes, and I got to apologize to you. I made a list of the four things I wanted to say in this report, and number one is thank you, Adriana, for that report. And I must have, I started at number two instead of number one. So yes, I did get it. Thank you very much. And several people have wanted it. And so I have disseminated it. I didn't think you would mind since you heard that it was already circulated.
Susan, you have your hand up.
Yes, actually, it's as much a question for Adriana. I got a copy of the report, and it's very good, but it's from 2018. Is there anything more recent?
Yes, that was the most complete, but we did one in 2022, and the entire LSB received it. We did for 2000. I don't remember. It was 21 or 22. Lillian is here. She can remember. We sent the report. You were in the LSB at that time, but I sent the 2018 because that was an example that was sent to the entire foundation to show how a COI report should be done. Okay. The rest we have in the next one. We have some problem with checking the programming. But Lillian Kerr was part of that. She's in this meeting. She's her hand up, and she was part of our COI.
Yeah.
On that note, Lillian, please.
Yeah.
Your question, comment?
Yes. Thank you, Adriana. Thank you, Sherilyn. Yes, it is my recollection, Adriana, that we were working on a report. We had divided up the tasks in our COI committee in 22 and 23, and we did not complete it, if I remember this correctly. We were trying to get some information from the programmers because the purpose of the information we were gathering was to see if the programmers and the programming reflected the demographics of our community, and that's part of what the COI is enjoined to do. That was how we understood the task ahead of us. Am I correct in remembering this, Adriana?
Yes, that was 2023. We didn't complete the 2023, we did one in 2022. Yes.
Okay. I apologize if I didn't remember that.
That's okay.
All right, Susan, you have your hand up, and then we'll move on.
I still have my hand up. And Adriana, you may very well have sent it out in 2022, and I was in fact on the board in 2022. For some reason, it did not enter my consciousness. So I would very much appreciate if you could send it again. Thank you.
I will try. Thank you.
And if you could copy me as well, Adriana, I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I will copy the entire LSB.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Development and outreach. Hey. Do we have a report from Development and Outreach Committee? And I cannot.
Mr. Chair, yes. Would you be kind? May I ask you to wake Teresa up?
I don't have a stick.
Oh, are we talking about development?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you very much for waking me up. There is an event that is happening on Saturday, and we talked about how live remotes attracted people to different venues. Grant Peoples, who gave a wonderful show at Anderson Fair about a year ago, is performing at Millbend, and this is a fundraiser for KPFT. We usually have a charity of the evening, and after we pay the musician, the rest of the money, including the kitchen, goes to the charity of the evening. So that is what's happening. Recommended donation is $25, but there may be some people there who want to start a membership at KPFT, and that's definitely possible. And I am sending out invitations to many KPFT programmers, former programmers, former volunteers, former listeners that I've met through the years, and inviting them because his music is, I was going to say charming, but it's not charming. It's very clever, very insightful. He is a phenomenal songwriter. He has, Florida was looking, the governor of Florida was looking for a new state song because I think the state, previous state song had the words old folks at home and other stereotypical things in it. And so they had a competition. He submitted an entry and I guess Grant cannot resist exposing hypocrisy. His song is called The Sunshine State. Needless to say, it did not win, but you can hear it if you come to Milburn. It's amazing. And he has a song called Gunning for Buddha. He has lots of really, really interesting songs. So it's 7 o'clock Saturday night and I have sent an invitation. Tori Mercer is going to open. And Grant is bringing, he'll be at the old quarter, I think on Sunday and Bugle Boy on Friday night. I just want to say, just remind you, people want to meet other KPFT listeners and they want to meet programmers. They love discussing the nostalgia. It's just amazing what KPFT has done in the 54 years that we've been here. And I think it should be a lot of fun. And if you have any pictures or posters, you might want to come and display them and see if people there can identify people in the pictures. I know that at one point, Richard Uzel came back from Vietnam, right, Richard? And you helped build a studio. Just there are many, many interesting stories. So that's one thing. Also want to thank the people who have been calling lapsed donors. We will get together next week. If you would like to try your hand at calling lapsed donors, just give me a call. And we will be participating in the, Juneteenth event. And, I hope to participate by distributing flyers or the little QR codes, at least one of the Pride events. We will not be in the parade, but we can certainly work the crowd. And so we have been busy and we'd love to have you join us. It should be a heck of a lot of fun.
We're running short of time. David Britton, you have your hand up.
Yes, I just want to say, check out Grant Peebles. He's great. And he's one of the few people I've ever met who, he's a real liberal guy, but he can talk to anybody. It can be a conservative nut job. He doesn't get up on a, open and say, I'm holier than thou. He's a real down to earth guy, but check him out. He's good. He's the real deal.
I'm sorry. I thought you had a question. Jane, you had your hand up.
I just want to add to what Therese said. I don't, can you hear me? That when I had my show, on KFT, Otis and I were in like a Target and there's somebody walking behind us and they recognized voice and walked up to us and said, oh my goodness, you're on KPFT. Was awesome. And that's, I'm just supporting what you're saying because everywhere.
Okay. If there are no questions, then, Richard, is anything going on with governance?
Adriana,
yes. Did you have a question?
No, I have. Richard wasn't in our meeting, in the last governance meeting.
I'm sorry. Was.
And we didn't have quorum again. We have almost 13 people, but the problem is, we have the 12 people. Some people, one of the problems, people complain about the big committee, but I think that the problem is a bunch of people from the LSB. We have, I think, that 12 or 13 members of this LSB, part of governance, and only 3 show up in the governance committee meeting. It's just two of them will show up or announce themselves, because we have somebody that we realized that was there but never gave us quorum, even when was there. I believe that if people don't want to be there, they can resign to the committee and let the committee have meetings. Because when we have 30 members that don't show up, that are part of this LSP, obviously why you want to be part of a committee if you will not have time to show up? You know, it's okay. I mean, we are busy. I understand. We are all volunteers. We have other things, but will be important that people that wants to be in a committee show up when the committee meets. Because if not, like we said, we have conversations. We were waiting. And we have informal conversation, and we said the next meeting will be May 21st, the next meeting of the KPFT Governance Committee. Please, all the members of the LSP, show up to the meeting, or if you think that you don't have time, please let us know. Thank you.
Thank you. Management Selection and Review Committee.
Our next meeting is June 3rd.
That is a report. Jane, I missed you. You have your hand up?
I do. Supposed to be both MSRC and governance, and I've received no notification. I'm just throwing that into the mix. Thank you.
Sounds like a problem. Okay.
You are not part of the membership there. I mean, the one that is posted there, you are not in that. I don't, you know, you can talk to Oris.
Finance Committee?
Just one second.
Yes, Rob.
What was the last group that said they were having a meeting on a certain date?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Susan.
Management Selection and Review Committee. The committee met earlier in this year. We decided that we would convene June 3rd in order to be lineup to do the IGM/GM evaluation.
Thank you.
Lyndon, finance?
Yes, thank you, Matt. So I just posted today on KPFTX that we will be meeting on the 15th of May. We're going to review the budget for the fiscal year 2025. It looks pretty good. I sent it out to all the people who were in our original meeting, a couple of weeks ago. And it's positive. The budget's in the black, $11,000. And as I said, if you take out the non-cash charge of depreciation, it's $38,000 or $39,000. So we're having this on the 15th, and hopefully we can vote it out of the finance committee so the LSB can get a look at it in the June meeting. So that's it.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Any questions?
Linda? Yes. What time, Linda?
7 o'clock.
And can we receive the proposed budget?
I sent it out, I don't know, a week ago or something.
Yeah, I saw it.
I check.
Okay. And if not, just email me, John, and I'll send it to you again, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions? Going once, going twice. Okay, moving on. I don't believe we have any unfinished business. The agenda says we have none. Is there any unfinished business that we're missing or that I'm unaware of? Going once, going twice.
Matt, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Did we, I'm seeing messages by Robert Gartner in the, chat, and it says that he cannot speak. Have we put him down as present at this meeting?
I can't say whether he's been marked.
Yes,
well,
we
then I'll make this comment. it's my understanding of the rules that you have to announce. You have to attend and announce. We've been doing this for some 3.5 years now. If you cannot acquaint yourself and avail yourself of the technology necessary to attend these meetings, then frankly, you ought to be doing something else. It's not a Nancy gets here on her phone. It's not rocket science. They make it so easy. Joseph, did you have a question?
Bob has a flip phone. I have a smartphone. It's a big difference.
I don't
know. I did manage to again announce, and I got in the finance committee of the meeting. I was late. I just checked my email. Didn't see a message. So I just want to confirm I did attend the first meeting. I'm a member of the finance committee. So.
And I sent it to you also.
Okay. What day did you send it?
About a week ago? Yeah, about a week ago.
Okay. I'll look again. Thank you.
Okay.
Adriana, do you have any new business?
No, I have a comment. I can see here in Zoom, we can see that Bob Gardner is here, and we can see in the chat, he's writing in the chat saying that he's present. Everybody can see the chat, and you can make a copy of the chat, and then you can see that he's here.
I think that's a matter to be addressed somewhere in the bylaws. We're not going to solve the problem here. The secretary says that he's marked him down. I question whether that's appropriate, but it's done. So I don't know that it's a subject of further discussion today.
Okay.
Rob, do you have your hand up?
Well, I just was making sure that I did see it in the chat, and also I acknowledged. Yeah. He's here.
I think we've established over the last year that the chat is not part of the meeting, which is why I don't really pay much attention to it, because it's not part of the meeting.
Yes, it is.
The next meeting is to be June 8th, right?
It's June 8th.
June 8th, okay. Hello? It says May 8th, and I know that's not right. So it's the second Wednesday in June.
Yes, it is.
I thought it was the first Wednesday.
The first Wednesday.
June 3rd.
I'm sorry. I should get better. June 5th.
June 12th.
Yeah, I believe it's June 12th, and I did send out a revised agenda. Unfortunately, you saw the earlier agenda, but I do believe, and somebody can correct me, that it's the second Wednesday, and that would be the 12th of June.
Well, how come we're meeting tonight? Tonight is the first Wednesday.
No, tonight is the second Wednesday. May 1st was last
Wednesday. Oh, it started on a Wednesday. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Okay,
so, confirming
there are only 7 days in a week.
Oh, boy. I've been living on the wrong planet.
I know.
All right, guys, we're going to confirm that the next meeting is.
I have Bob Gardner on my phone. Can he voice his presence?
Can he? I don't know.
Bob?
Point of order. Member of the public should not be speaking.
Yes, thank you. The next meeting.
You're not allowing him to voice his presence, so you can.
We are confirming. We are confirming next month's meeting on June 12th at 7:00. And with that, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Any objection?
None.
Once, twice.
Seconded.
Go with God, people.
Thanks, folks. Don't forget the Dollar Club. Anybody wants to join the Dollar Club.
That concludes our meeting.